The Mars InSight lander has been sending outstanding images of the red planet back to Earth. And anybody who watches the night skies knows that Mars is visible with the naked eye in December, just after sunset in the southwest. But using a telescope reveals even more of the heavens, and experienced stargazers know what a miraculous and highly technical instrument it is. Community Voices producer Jim Kale met a man from southwest Ohio who makes telescopes, and he's traveled to the rural countryside near the tiny town of Philo, Illinois, to meet him.
I've been driving the last few hours on narrow roads through vast fields of corn and soy to talk with Mike Lockwood of Lockwood Optical. In the wide open and dark spaces, Lockwood Optical produces incredibly fine mirrors with near impossible accuracy, the heart of a great telescope.
Interest in astronomy came from living in the middle of pitch black nowhere because you can't help but look up at the sky and, you know, watch the northern lights occasionally. And if you live under that and you don't get interested, then something's wrong.
Maybe we should start by explaining on a very basic level how these telescopes work, what the optics actually do.
Okay, so the light comes down from the sky. There's a parabolic primary mirror that is at the bottom of the telescope that collects the light. So the light bounces off the concave primary mirror, goes up, hits the flat secondary, and is reflected out into an eyepiece, which is in a focuser where you view the image.
After completing his master's degree, Mike was doing research when he revisited his old telescope project he started in middle school. He found the original mirror and finished it. Then he began making and fixing mirrors for friends and colleagues as a hobby.
And eventually one of my friends brought over a so-called professional mirror. And that was an epiphany, because it was a piece of crap. And I said, I can do better than this. I could do better, and then I did better. And I continued to fix some, I continued to make some new ones. Eventually, I had a small side business going while I was still doing research at the university.
So unless we want a funhouse view of the universe, our measurements for the mirror have to be very accurate. How close to perfect do they need to be?
These mirrors have a surface accuracy on the order of a few millionths of an inch of error if they're made right. These are the most precise surfaces made in the world. If you blew up a mirror to the size of the United States, the errors would be on the order of a few inches tall. So you have to use techniques that are gentle and then measure with good accuracy. That's where a lot of the art comes in. Very systematically track down all sources of error. I mean, things as simple as measuring on a concrete floor and not a wood floor, because the wood floor can change dimensions while you're testing.
I can't help but think that this has got to be a setup for great frustration.
I have thrown things. It happens.
So given all the difficulties and the frustration involved with this kind of work, why do you do it?
It's just a good match. I get to do a little bit of math every now and then and think about things scientifically, but I also get to start a project and finish a project and deliver it. And there's a satisfaction in that.
Mike's mirrors help feed the passions of astronomers all over the world. I visited the Warren Rupp Observatory in Belleville, Ohio, home to a 36-inch Lockwood Optics mirror housed in a 19-foot-tall telescope named Big Blue. As it turned out, the skies were cloudy and I didn't get to look through Big Blue this time. But I did get a sense of the passion and wonder of astronomy while talking with longtime volunteer and stargazer Dan Everett.
If you only had one more opportunity, what would you look for?
I'd probably go to the Great Nebula in Hercules. I've made people cry showing them this globular cluster because it just looks like diamonds dumped on black velvet. It'll just take your breath away. It's just beyond comprehension. People have asked me over the years, you know, what's the best thing you've ever seen in the sky? And I said, it isn't so much the sky, but when you see a young person's eye go to the eyepiece and you see that beam of light come out and hit their eye and you hear them go, that's the thrill. That's the real thrill, you know.
For Culture Couch on WYSO, this is Jim Kale.
The sky is a glorious thing, and most people don't spend enough time looking up.
Culture Couch is made possible by a generous grant from the Ohio Arts Council.